You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's good, everybody? Happy Tuesday, and welcome to Locked On Balls, your team every day. Locked On Balls, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts, completely free. If you guys want to go to @_Caner or @LockedOnVols, hit that link in the bio. You can find out plenty of listening options there at your disposal. I'm Eric Kane, radio host here in Knoxville, Tennessee, the sports animal, and a writer for the Volcalist.com website. That's the Tennessee rival site covering Tennessee football and recruiting. Got a fun show coming up here today. I'll tell you all about it here in just a second, but let me remind you guys about the NFL season. It's about to begin, and nobody covers it just like the Locked On Podcast Network. August the 30th through September the 8th, Locked On's Ultimate Season Preview is taking you through every team and every division with the help of Odyssey's lineup of NFL experts. Follow the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Tune in beginning August the 30th. It is Tuesday. That means it is Twitter Tuesday. So you guys know that I'm going to take your questions and kind of talk about those here in segment number one. In segment two, Josh Heupel took to the podium. I kind of teased it on social media. I said, could today be the day? Well, today, meaning Monday, was not the day that Josh Heupel announced a starting quarterback. I'll give you some more of his audio and some pros and cons of why he's kind of holding out. Well, you know, could that benefit the team in terms of not naming a starting quarterback? We'll talk about that in segment number two. And in segment number three, Ryan Leaf, okay, he dealt out his SEC predictions over the weekend, and boy, do I disagree with some of those. All that and more here on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Let's go ahead and get into it. We will start with Tyler Hood. So Tyler Hood, he's at TylerHood35 on Twitter. His question: what's the goal for points per game average this year? I think it's 30. If we had 30 points a game last year, we would have won at least three more games. Yeah, Tyler, I'm kind of with you right there, man. I have kind of been keying on 30 as well in having this conversation throughout the offseason. Listen, Tennessee averaged about 21.78 points per game under Jeremy Pruitt. If you look at the 3 years he was here, offensive coordinators Tyson Helton, offensive coordinator Jim Chaney the last 2 years, it wasn't pretty, okay? And a lot of this had to do with the brand of football Pruitt wanted, and we can get into that some other time. But, I mean, even if you average a touchdown more per game, I mean, you're talking 28, 29 points. That is a major increase, and, you know, I think it's an improvement, but would it help you win any more games this year? I don't know, but I think somewhere around 30 points is something you should shoot for. That's a little over a touchdown better per average a game compared to where you were last year. I think that's enough points to keep you in a lot of games. I think it's enough points to beat a couple of teams on this schedule, but also you'll need to get some good help from your defense and playing an aggressive style of defense to get turnovers and maybe give you some more opportunities. But I would say 30 points a game as well, Tyler. I'm kind of right there in that neighborhood. And, hey, maybe there's going to be more. I don't think it's going to be flipping the switch. Tennessee's out there scoring 40 to 45 points a game in year one. It can get there. But, again, in year one, I would say 30 is a good goal. So appreciate that, Tyler. Matt Roberts, he chimes in. He asks, what's your biggest concern for this football team this season? Well, it's depth. Depth. I mean, I like the talent across the board and really for the most part for Tennessee. I think, though inexperienced, I think Tennessee's got some running backs you got to feel good about, and Jabari Small, Tyon Evans. I think Tennessee's got some receivers you got to feel good about, and Bayless Jones, Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, Javonte Payton. I think Jimmy Callaway's come a long way. He's been a little banged up. Jimmy Holiday's been a little banged up. Romel Keaton's had a good camp. Anderson Kobe's had a good camp. Freshman Walker Merrill's had a good camp. I mean, I just went, what, 7 or 8 deep right there? Now, not all those guys will produce high numbers, but I like the talent of wide receiver. I like your top two tight ends in Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren. They're going to be asked to do an awful lot, playing a little H-back, playing slots, putting out wide, going on the line of scrimmage. And overall, though shallow, I like the offensive line. Defensively, I like the depth you have in the secondary now and the returning starters. I like the bodies up front, though not productive in 2020. You're coached now by, you know, Rodney Garner, who has got a resume that I don't even have to tell you guys. You guys know all about it. But the depth at linebacker, the depth at offensive tackle, and the depth at tight end worries me. You're one injury away, in my opinion, on the offensive line to being in some serious trouble. And football, and we'll talk about it with Josh Heupel here. Josh Heupel will go over it. I'll play it for you in segment number two, talking about how cross training has been vital for this team because, in my opinion, you're one injury away from being a world of hurt on the offensive line. You're one injury away from being in a world of hurt at tight end. You're one injury away from being in a world of hurt at linebacker. So depth. That is the main concern for me. And I like the two safeties up there, McCullough and Flowers. And I like the two safeties behind them, and Tamarian McDonald and Christian Charles. But you're talking about a sophomore that barely played last year and a true freshman. So depth. That is the one concern I have for this Tennessee football team. A second question again from Matt Roberts. He's at RobMatt86 on Twitter. The two most important games, I say Pitt and Ole Miss. What say you, my good buddy Kaner? So for me, I would say South Carolina is the most important game because Tennessee, boy, if you don't beat South Carolina, that is not a good sign in my opinion. I think the two SEC wins that you're guaranteed, I know you should, there's no guarantees in life. I hear you with 2019 Georgia State. But Vanderbilt and South Carolina, you got to win those games in the SEC. You've got it, and I think Tennessee will. Outside of South Carolina, I think it would be Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is week two. I know it's not the SEC. I get that, but you beat Bowling Green, you beat Pittsburgh, you beat Tennessee Tech, you feel really good sitting 3-0 heading to the Swamp. Now, I don't think Tennessee's going to win in the Swamp, but then you're going to be at Missouri. Can you carry over some of that 3-0 starting momentum to Missouri in a game that you could potentially win? You know, we'll have to see. But South Carolina, number one, because it's a team you should beat. Also, it's placement in the schedule. You go from a stretch from September 25th at Florida, at Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss, at Alabama, bye week, at Kentucky, against Georgia. So you have three home games in that span and four road games in that span, along with a bye. If you lose that South Carolina game, worst case scenario, lose to Florida, lose to Missouri, lose to South Carolina, lose to Ole Miss, lose to Alabama, lose to Kentucky. Worst case scenario, I don't think this will happen, but that is six straight losses. Been there, done that back in 2020, am I right? South Carolina, the most important game in my opinion. Appreciate you chiming in, Matt, for Twitter Tuesday. Always appreciate you listening to Locked On Vols. Let's go to Kyle Hensley. So, Kyle Hensley, what are your thoughts on Jeremy Banks' potential at linebacker? Okay, so Jeremy Banks at linebacker, could he be an above-average SEC starter, or will his lack of experience keep him from reaching that level? So, my thoughts on Jeremy Banks at linebacker so far in his career, not very much. I got to be completely blunt with you guys. I know a lot of you guys that listen to this podcast every day know my thoughts on Jeremy Banks. Nothing against Jeremy Banks the person. I don't know Jeremy Banks. I've talked to him a couple times. He seems like a nice kid. On the field, not very good. On the field, does stupid stuff. On the field, was very, very close to being kicked out of a number of games. But he's a guy that suffered from just not being able to learn the position of linebacker. I mean, point blank. His first couple of seasons, he was flip-flopped, running back, linebacker. He got dismissed from the team for a little bit, came in last year, and he was the pet for Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt wanted Jeremy Banks to succeed so bad, and he would continue to play him, and he was just not good. Just not good doing the little things. Couldn't cover worth a dang. Ran under blocks, not over blocks. Did not take on blockers the right way. Week one of fall camp, I did see a few things that I liked from Jeremy Banks when we could sit there and watch some more periods. I saw a little bit of improvement, but again, that was just a small sample size. So regardless, you hope Ryan Jean-Marie's done a lot with Jeremy Banks, getting him back healthy. You've heard nothing but great things about Jeremy Banks in terms of the teammate that he is, the buy-in that he has, in terms of him starting to play under control. And that's big because he's kind of a bull in a china shop. So we will have to see about Jeremy Banks. And hopefully he has improved and will continue to improve because Tennessee will need him, without a doubt. Tennessee will need Jeremy Banks to play aside from Juwan Mitchell. And, you know, Jeremy Banks is the leading returner of the linebackers, you know, in terms of playing experience that was on the Tennessee team last year. Behind him, you've got, of course, Juwan Mitchell, but you've got Aaron Beasley, who's a veteran but is, you know, not really big enough to play linebacker on the inside, in my opinion. Aaron Willis, a true freshman. Morvin Joseph, a sophomore, but played the edge last year. You got Pat Garland, who's kind of held down the fort there, but hasn't really seen any much playing time. And Solon Page, who's kind of in the same situation there. So we will see. What we're going to do is I'm going to hit on Kyle's second question real quick. Then we're going to come back and answer two more Twitter Tuesday questions in segment two. I'll space them out a little bit. And then we will get to Josh Heupel because I kind of misjudged my time here. Thought I could get it all done in segment one, but I could not. But that is okay. I love the questions from Twitter Tuesday. One more real quick from Kyle. leading up to his first season, how do you think Josh Heupel's handling the pressure that comes with being the Tennessee's coach? Has his demeanor been confident, or have there been moments that you've made you concerned about his ability to lead the program? I mean, so far, so good. I mean, he looks like an experienced head coach. Now, he's only been a head coach for 3 years, and again, it was at UCF. It was not in the SEC. The way he goes about practice, I've been impressed. The way he goes about his press conferences, annoying, but, he's doing what every other coach does. He's saying, and we'll talk about this more here in a little bit when we get to Josh Heupel and his press conference from Monday. He says a whole lot, but he doesn't tell us anything. He doesn't answer questions, that we in the media want him to answer. And again, that's what coaches do. So for him, good on him. My confidence isn't shaken so far. You know, he hasn't coached a game. We'll have to see his in-game decision-making. All that'll come on Saturdays in the fall. We'll see. But so far, so good. I think he's been doing just fine. I like the way he opened things up in terms of access. I still love the way he allows us to talk to assistant coaches, coordinators, and players. We've never gotten this much access. It's been really cool. I don't like the way that looks like right now. Potentially, he's cutting off practice viewing periods, so we'll have to see if that lasts. But nonetheless, so far, so good for Josh Heupel. I hope that answers your question, Kyle. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get to more Twitter Tuesdays. We've got Kay Wayne and Stephen Skidmore, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But first, let's thank some of our sponsors. Let's pay the bills. Sweat Block. Doctor created, doctor recommended. It works up to 7 days per use. Dry shirt guarantee, all right? If Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It's featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. Bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews. It's manufactured in the United States, okay? Wear what you want to wear. It's your little secret to confidence. This is a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag, whether it's a big presentation, a hot date. It's for everyone's benefit. You guys know me. I'm out there covering practice right now in the 95-degree heat. Hey, I'm now back on television every Thursday night, sometimes on Saturdays, doing sidelines, high school broadcasts for Rivalry Thursday and Pac-Man Productions. I'm sweating my tail off out there. It is so hot, but something that protects me for the most part, it is Sweat Block, and they have been game changers for me. So if you or someone you love is dealing with this, okay, the embarrassing pit stains, the back sweat, all that unnecessary stuff that's a little embarrassing, all right? I encourage you to check out Sweatblock. You can get 20% off sweatblock.com with a promo code Locked On right now. That's 20% off sweatblock.com with a promo code Locked On. That's at Amazon or at your local CVS. All right, Rock Auto. Dramatic pause there, right? Rock Auto. My friends at rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30 to 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can go online, you can purchase from a family-owned business that's been doing it online for over 20 years, selling to the do-it-yourselfers and the professionals. rockauto.com, the prices, most importantly, always reliably low for every single customer. They've got literally everything you can possibly want, from brake parts to tail lamps and motor oils. You can check it all out at rockauto.com today, all right? Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solutions for your auto part needs for your car or your truck, okay? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, that's rockauto.com. And right in the How Did You Hear About Us box, Locked On Vols, so they know that we sent you. Tell them we sent you, okay? They're great people over there. They've helped so many people just like you, okay? Don't deal with the headache of your retail store or a car dealership. Go to rockauto.com right now. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Segment two of a Tuesday show here on Locked On Vols. Welcome back into it. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Adjusting on the fly. Yes, this is not live radio, but I treat this podcast like it's a radio show. And so we will continue on with some Twitter Tuesday, and then we'll hear from Josh Heupel a little bit here in segment number three. So let's continue on. Some big thanks to everyone that participated in Twitter Tuesday, guys. You know it's one of my favorite shows I do every single week. I know the questions will start rolling in even more whenever Tennessee's playing, but anytime you guys have a question throughout the week, I bookmark it, and I like it, and I come back here on Tuesdays, and I put it on the podcast. It's a whole lot of fun, so I appreciate you guys for staying involved and doing that and keeping track with it throughout the week. All right, so KWayne1800 chimes in on Twitter. We lost a lot of players to the transfer portal, but I wonder if that number is exaggerated because of the extra year of eligibility due to COVID. How many of our transfers would have had to leave the program anyways if it hadn't have been for the extra year? Example, Garantano and Chandler. Kay Wayne, this is something early on in the process throughout the winter, whenever players were leaving left and right, this is something that I was saying. I was like, hey, if not for the extra COVID year, Tennessee's not really been hurt that bad. But then came the onslaught of Wanya Morris, Henry T., Eric Gray, and so on and so forth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the transfer portal tracker. I'm a Rivals guy. I write for Rivals. But anytime I use another publication like I do on this podcast all the time, anytime I see good work from other outlets, I want to give them praise and obviously show my work. This is from 24/7, and they do a great job with the transfer portal tracker, and so I just pulled it up, and let's go ahead and go through it together, and it'll take a little time, but I'll go through here as quick as I can, but I think this is a good exercise to truly show, as you pointed out, Kay Wayne, just how many of these players would have been gone anyway. So, Darrell Middleton, he had the 1 year of COVID eligibility left. He left the program a couple weekends ago. He's now at West Virginia. You could put him in that category in terms of a COVID year player. Caden Salter, of course, never really practiced with the team. He's gone now to Liberty. Greg Emerson has 3 years of eligibility left. I don't see how that's possible. He's at Memphis, so he would be in the other category. Malachi Wideman, 4 years of eligibility left. He is now at Jackson State. Kenny Solomon, 3 years of eligibility left. He's at Tulsa. Chase Bishop was a walk-on. He's at Louisville, it looks like, or Fresno State. Ball State. Kamal Haddon came into the program. Brandon Turnage came into the program. Deshaun Terry came into the program. Isaac Washington, Martavis French, each have 4 years of eligibility remaining, neither of which have found a place left. These are all players who have entered the transfer portal. Caleb Tremblay came into the transfer portal to Tennessee. Javonta Payton came to Tennessee. William Mohan came to Tennessee. Juwan Mitchell came to Tennessee. Tight end Sean Brown, 4 years of eligibility remaining. He is now at Jacksonville State. John Mincy, 2 years of eligibility. He's with Butch Jones at Arkansas State. Emmett Gooden, 1 year of eligibility. This is another one that falls into that Garantano-Chandler realm. He is nowhere right now, but 1 year of eligibility remaining. Joe Milton came to Tennessee. Brent Simaglia, 1 year. That's another one just like Garantano that is benefiting from the COVID year. He's at Georgia Tech. Joe Doyle has 2 years of eligibility. He's at Memphis. J.J. Peterson, 3 years. He's nowhere right now. Keyshawn Lawrence, he is at Oklahoma, 4 years. Henry Tuotuo, 3 years at Alabama. Eric Gray, 3 years at Oklahoma. Kavarius Crouch, 3 years at Michigan State. Jameer Johnson is in that category, 1 year of eligibility left, taking advantage of the COVID year. He is at Texas A&M. Wanya Morris, 3 years of eligibility at Oklahoma. Sean Schamberger, 1 year of eligibility remaining. He is at UT Martin. So again, I'll go back through it and track him at the end, but Sean Schamberger is a guy just like that. Saheed Shah was a walk-on. Ty Chandler, 1 year of eligibility remaining, is at Carolina. DeAndre Johnson, 1 year of eligibility remaining, he's at Miami. JT Shrout, 3 years, he's at Colorado. Jared Garantano, 1 year of eligibility remaining, he is at Washington State. Hendon Hooker came to Tennessee. Brandon Johnson, 1 year of eligibility remaining at UCF. Jordan Allen, 1 year of eligibility remaining, he is at Weber State. Kevon Bennett, 2 years, is at Arkansas State. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Good for him. Chase McGrath, into the program. Baylen Buchanan, 1 year of eligibility remaining at Louisiana Tech. Savion Williams, 1 year, and is now at Florida A&M. Niles Gotti transferred to Jackson State. He was a walk-on. Isaiah Montgomery was a walk-on. He is now at Jacksonville State as well. Goodness gracious, what is Tennessee, a feeder program? Ethan Rink, it was a walk-on. He's at Southern Alabama. Jackson Lowe, 4 years of eligibility left. He is also at Jacksonville State. My goodness. Jarius Abercrombie is at Louisville. He was a walk-on. Kasim Hill left the program. Of course, he has 2 years of eligibility remaining. So let's go back and count, shall we? A long-winded way to do it, but I wanted to go through that as quick as I could just to kind of show you that some are walk-ons, and a lot of those have that one-year exemption that you're talking about. So, Savion Williams, that's one. Baylen Buchanan, that's two. Kevon Bennett, no, just kidding. Jordan Allen, that's three. Brandon Johnson, that's four. Jared Garantano, five. DeAndre Johnson, six. Ty Chandler, seven. Sean Schamberger, eight. Jameer Johnson, nine. Brent Simaglia, 10. Emmett Gooden, 11. And that's it. So you got 11. Yeah, you got 11 right now. Nope, you got one more. You have 12, Darrell Middleton. So of all those transfers that I just listed out through the transfer portal, okay, 12 of them are taking advantage of the COVID year and moving on to extend their playing career in college. So yes, you have a great argument. Now, losing Henry T., Eric Gray, Kovaris Crouch, Wanya Morris, Key Lawrence, those hurt. Those really, really do hurt because they're good players. But 12 of the names that I just listed out right there are taking advantage of the COVID-exempt year and moving on and playing without their playing career. Whether they would be gone to graduation, they'd be out of eligibility, or gone on to pursue other opportunities, if not for the COVID year. So, Kay Wayne, great observation. It's something that I've talked about on this podcast before, but you're exactly right. The numbers, they seem exaggerated, but that extra year of COVID really, really does help in terms of inflating those numbers. Last one. Let's go back to the DM box, and we've got Steven Skidmore. Okay, what do you think the score will be for the Bowling Green game? That's a good question. My score, what pops up in the head first is 42-14. Now, will Tennessee's defense give up more than 14 points, especially if you get reserves in there? Potentially, but mine is 42-14. That would not cover the current 34-line spread from betonline.ag. So I don't think Tennessee's going to cover the spread because, again, the spread is ginormous. It's 34 points. So for me, I'm taking Bowling Green and the points. All right, for Tennessee, I'm not taking that right now. Steven Skidmore says he'll throw in his predictions. Halftime, 35-17. Final, 52-27. If Tennessee gives up 27 points to Bowling Green, that's not good. But I understand your thought process there. Tennessee's defense going to give up a lot of points, going to give up a lot of yards. So I expect some, you know, giving up 27, you know, plus points some this year. I really do. Probably not against Bowling Green. So, Steven, appreciate you chiming in there for a Twitter Tuesday. All right, that'll do it. Twitter Tuesday, two segments here. We'll check in and hear from Josh Heupel in segment number three. We might have to push Ryan Leaf's SEC predictions to tomorrow, to tomorrow's show. But nonetheless, great job, guys. Really appreciate you chiming in, as always, right here for a Twitter Tuesday. Bet Online. It's that time of the year again. All eyes are turning towards football as teams are back on the gridiron to the start of the college football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for pro and college football action all year long. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including the online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest 200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at betonline.ag. Head on over to the website or use that mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. You heard me right, 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th opener between Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action, from football to basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all great offers available for the 2021 season right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON again for a 100% welcome bonus. That's at Bet Online. It's your online sportsbook experts and home field apparel, guys. The vintage apparel that Home Field Apparel unveiled for Tennessee about a month ago is incredible. I've talked to you guys about the three shirts they sent me, the Pride of the Southland Marching Band, the Vol Navy, and the old Smokey mascot. It is fantastic. I love to wear those around the house and out to show those off. It's vintage in terms of what Tennessee means to a true Tennessee fan. It dives in to share experiences and marks that truly only fans would know, okay? So the Tennessee collection, 15 pieces of apparel, including t-shirts, hoodies, crew necks, all vintage marks you won't see anywhere else. They've done Tennessee's unveilment as well as Notre Dame, LSU, Texas A&M, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Kentucky, Miami, but Tennessee's sale continues to be amongst the leaders, and that's because of you guys. If you haven't bought from homefieldapparel.com, I encourage you to do so today. Why? Well, you'll get 15% off your first purchase at Home Field Apparel with the Locked On Vols promo code at the checkout at homefieldapparel.com. Don't be left in the dust. Game day's right around the corner. We're less than 2 weeks away from the season opener. Wear your vintage Home Field Apparel Tennessee brand to the game against Bowling Green. Go online, get it today. It'll be delivered before the game starts. Homefieldapparel.com. Locked On Vols for 15% off your first purchase. Again, it's homefieldapparel.com. All right, it's been a Fast and Furious show. I love Twitter Tuesday episodes. Thank you guys so much for chiming in with your questions back here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane. One more that came in just under the wire while I'm literally hitting record for segment number three. Shane Smith chimes in. What's your prediction for who will lead the team in tackles, sacks, and interceptions? Well, tackles, I'll say Juwan Mitchell. Sacks, I'll say Byron Young. And interceptions, I will say Warren Burrell. How's that? Warren Burrell for your interception leader for Tennessee. Those are just strictly guesses. I feel confident in the tackling for Juwan Mitchell, Tyler Barron, and or Byron Young leading in sacks, and then, you know, we'll see about the interceptions, but Warren Burrell has had a really, really solid camp. Okay, so the press conference on Monday for Josh Heupel, we said, could today be the day? Could today be the day that he announces a starting quarterback? Now, he did not, obviously. Here's just real quick, is a quick little anecdote. When asked, hey, do you have a starter for the quarterback? This is what Josh Heupel had to say.
No decisions have been made. Those guys have been great, continue to compete. We'll see where we're at here at the end of this week.
The pros and cons of not announcing a quarterback right now, potentially you don't want to create a distraction for the other two guys in your room, and Hendon Hooker and Harrison Bailey. Maybe you're just not ready to make that announcement if you're Josh Heupel. I think we all have the expectation that it's going to be Joe Milton. Everything we've heard from around the program, everything I've seen in conversations with people as well, my expectation is it's going to be Joe Milton, but hey, Josh Heupel might not be ready to make that announcement. Maybe he doesn't want to give extra time for Bowling Green, or more so Pittsburgh and Florida coming up later on that schedule in the first month of the season, ample time to prepare for one quarterback. Maybe he wants to leave the door open for a possibility of multiple quarterbacks starting for Tennessee. Again, maybe he doesn't want to say it's over for those other two quarterbacks in the room, or maybe he doesn't want to create a distraction. Whatever the case may be, the next time he speaks is going to be next Monday, as we talked about on yesterday's pod. I expect an announcement next Monday because, again, it's going to be game week. Your team knows who the starting quarterback is going to be, okay? Your team knows by that point especially, and, you know, we'll have to see. But that was Josh Heupel on no quarterbacks on the announcement. He said he will see at the end of the week how they're progressing. Here is Josh Heupel on the question was asked, how are you dividing up the reps? He didn't really answer that. But he also, the question was also asked how Joe Milton's adapting after not having spring, and a little bit about the rest of the quarterbacks. Here's Josh Heupel on Joe Milton and the quarterbacks.
For him, yeah, he's got less time on task in what we're doing offensively. He spent a ton of time in May learning what we were doing before everybody was back in June. The quarterback group as a collective group has spent a ton of time and energy, you know, really becoming refined in what we're doing. I thought, you know, we're the guys that were here in spring ball, how they showed up in training camp, fundamentally technique, completely different. Joe's really progressed, you know, during the course of our training camp. You know, you look at the first half and then the second half, much more comfortable in what we're asking him to do, and has great ownership.
What about the most improved unit so far in terms of what you've seen, Josh Heupel, in your growth from your football team, all right? It was a quick answer. He only talked about one position group. It's one that you can probably guess, and it's one of my favorite positions on the entire football field. It's linebacker. Here's Josh Heupel on the linebackers.
First one would be our linebackers, just who we had, number of bodies, or lack of number of bodies at that position during the course of spring ball. Getting a couple guys back healthy off of injuries. They've come back and have competed at a really high level. The additions that we brought into that room, the culture inside of that meeting room is completely different than it has. Coach BJ has done a fantastic job of leading those young men. They've had real buy-in. Competition has been a huge help in creating that type of culture as well.
What about the offensive line, Josh Heupel? Are you settled in on the starting five up there, and how do you like the depth behind those five? Here's Josh Heupel on the offensive line.
As an entire roster, we're thinner there than you would want to be, just numbers. But I think the guys have grown, right? The guys that aren't in the starting five have really started to grow, and at that position, eventually you're going to get somebody nicked up, right? And you know, the versatility of some of those guys will be important too, being able to move from left side to right side, or being able to play multiple spots inside too.
Can we talk about cross training a lot? Josh Heupel said that there. If Cooper Mays were to go out, Jerome Carvin can snap. You can move down Cade Mays to a guard, and then move up Dane Davis to tackle. If a tackle gets hurt, slide in Dane Davis. If a guard gets hurt, slide Cade Mays down, bring in Dane Davis. Cross-training is going to help. That also, he spoke about that in the secondary in terms of having safeties rep at star, corners rep at star, strong safeties rep at free safeties. That way you might not have to go back to the cupboard to find somebody to come in when someone goes out with an injury. You can just slide some pieces over, and that way it might benefit your team in the right way. When you are thin as you are at offensive tackle, and as thin as you are at linebacker, and as thin as you are at tight end, and when you're as thin as you are at parts in the secondary, it's critical to cross-train. You've got to cross-train. Every team in America is cross-training to a certain extent. Jeremy Pruitt cross-trained all the time. Cross-train is very important, and that is how Tennessee's trying to kind of mask some of the depth issues on this football team, again, at offensive tackle and in the secondary in some spots. So cross-training's big. It looks like the offensive line is really starting to settle in with the starting five of left tackle Darnell Wright. I tried to say Darnell Wright and Dane Davis at the same time. Left guard would be Jerome Carvin, center Cooper Mays, right guard Javonte Spraggins, and right tackle Cade Mays, with the swing man, that being Dane Davis. Overall, Josh Heupel says his team is getting better and better and better, and it's a completely different team, really, when you look at it from the first day of pads. Back in spring practice, here is Josh Heupel on his team's improvement. Again, this is him from Monday's press conference.
During the course of training camp, throughout summer, throughout spring ball, we've gotten better, man. I think about the first day of full pads and spring ball and where we are today, we've continued to grow, and we are unfinished, and you're always continuing to push forward. But I like this group of guys, man. They care about themselves and their teammates. They care about representing the state of Tennessee the right way.
Overall, you know, you always want to hear from the head ball coach, but Josh Heupel's kind of mastered it, and I kind of talked about it with, I believe it was Kyle Hensley's question back in segment number one. Josh Heupel's kind of mastered the whole, I'm going to talk, but I'm not going to say anything. I like to say, hey, you were here on the radio this morning, but you weren't listening to what we were saying. When people say, hey, you said this. No, I didn't. I said this, actually. You heard the radio in the background. You weren't listening to what we were saying. I kind of equate that to Josh Heupel. He's talking, but he's not really telling us anything, okay? He didn't tell us anything about the starting quarterback. He said no announcement. And that's fine. It's whatever. It's his prerogative. He didn't really tell us. We asked specifically about the depth of the wide receiver room. He didn't go into specifics other than Javonte Payton, who he's pleased with, and that's good to know. We asked him about the reps and the quarterbacks. He didn't really go into specifics in terms of who's getting more reps, but I've told you guys, it's been Joe Milton, okay, from the last week and a half we've been at practice, and again, from conversations I've had around the program. We've asked some other things. He didn't really answer them, but he kind of, you know, went and talked and hit some other things in a roundabout way. And again, I'm not hating on Josh Heupel right now. That's a football coach, okay? He's got 3 years of head coaching experience. The media down in Orlando is nothing compared to what it is here in Knoxville, but he has experience. And so I've seen a lot more of that from Josh Heupel here lately as he starts to lock things down as they get ever so closer to the opener, Bowling Green. We have no practice viewing period this week. We'll get Tim Banks tomorrow or today with players. We'll get Alex Golish tomorrow with players, and then it shut down the rest of the week. We'll have to see what the schedule will look like come game week, but we do know we will hear from Josh Heupel again on Monday at noon. One other note, a question was asked about the vaccination rate of the entire team. He did not have a percentage for Tennessee teams in terms of vaccination, but he said they continue to move the needle in the right direction and more guys are getting that done. So that's something good to see there. All right, a whole lot of information here on a Twitter Tuesday. Didn't even get to my third topic, but we'll save it for tomorrow. We got Word Wednesday coming up for a Wednesday show, and we got some other guests joining later on in the program. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Really, really do appreciate it. It's been Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. Anytime throughout the week you have a question, DM me, tweet me at _Kaner, at Locked On Vols. I'll bookmark it, and we'll talk about it every single Tuesday from now throughout the rest of the season. We're done with Locked On Vols now, so let me tell you about Locked On Bets. Betting on college football doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag or wherever you get your podcasts. Woo! Been a fun, fun show. Talking a mile a minute, that's what radio do to you. We'll do it again tomorrow, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Be safe, and can't wait to talk to you again tomorrow.